Okay.
He says right.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Tana.
Good morning, Brent.
I haven't seen you since we were in the prayer room together.
Oh, such a long time.
It's been like 3 minutes. Well, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Gate live stream pre-service, actually. Pre-service is a time that we like to take an opportunity to minister to anybody that comes online and joins us. Rather than just chit-chat and talk about what's happening and shoot the breeze, we like to shoot arrows of life and just to minister and pray over and prophesy over anyone that's joining us. So we'd love to do that with you this morning. So we're going to ask you to drop a hello in and a hi. Let us know you're watching. Sometimes your name will pop across the bottom of the screen, but not always. And so it helps us if you give us a hello, then we know you're on and we can pray for you and minister to you. We love to do that. By the way, I'm Brent, and this is
Tana.
Yeah.
And it says we're both watching.
We are both watching right now.
Is anybody and waiting.
Anybody else online with us?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not yet.
I'll run with something I got in the prayer room then. I felt like, I don't know if you'll be watching later or that's what I'm going to assume, that you'll be watching later. But I heard the name Lonnie. And it's not a name that I often, I only know a few people in my life named Lonnie, actually. Mm-hmm. But I heard the name Lonnie, and I felt like, and if your name's not Lonnie, but this applies to you, then I want to encourage you to grab hold of it. But I saw an image, like, of a picture of you propping open a window, and it's like this feeling like having to prop up some things in your life right now. You felt like I've got to hold this up if I'm gonna get what I'm supposed to get out of this. I'm having to prop it up and hold it up, and I just feel like there's some weight and some pressure on you right now, and maybe even you're the prop inside the window. And I felt like the Lord saying, "No, I am actually the one who has opened the windows of heaven, and I pour out a blessing on you that no one can contain, and that the pressure is lifted off of you right now, whether your name's Lonnie or not." The pressure is lifted off of you right now. If you feel like you're the one having to hold open, prop open, keep things up, keep things going the way they're supposed to be going. But the Lord said, no, the weight is, the government is on my shoulders. That's what the scripture says. The government's on his shoulders. It's not on your shoulders. So I declare you're released from that and that you rest in him today in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
And I just hear the Holy Spirit say that he is the window and that he's going to blow through there like never before. Just get ready. Mm. Just get ready for just a fresh new wind to blow up on your
good.
Life.
Yeah, and if he's the window, you definitely aren't needing to hold him open.
No.
He's already wide open.
Amen.
And has been. It's his heart. His arms are wide open.
Thank
he doesn't
you,
close his arms to you.
That's
his
right.
arms are wide open. His heart is wide open. His heart is to bless you. His
yes,
heart is
God.
To love you. And so
that's right.
We just bless you in that today in Jesus' name.
That's right. We have Brian watching all the way from Joplin.
Brian, last name.
Brian Maynard.
Oh, okay.
We know Brian Maynard. Yeah.
Yeah, we thank you for Brian this morning, Lord. I thank you for your hand on his hand. That's what the phrase I hear right now, Brian. I've got my hand on your hand. Even as you put your hand on the steering wheel for so many hours, you drive and drive and drive. But I feel like the Lord is saying, Brian, my hand is on your hand, and my hand is at the same time on your heart. And I just feel like the Lord's saying, Brian, this is a day that you've walked into when it's you've experienced a lot of healing in your heart, but this is a day that you're walking forward in the joy of that.
That's
accomplished,
right.
finished healing work that the Lord has done on the inside of you, that he's fully done a great work of healing, and that today is a day just to walk in the joy of the Lord and to drive in the joy of the Lord today.
Amen. I hear the Lord say he goes before you, he's with you, and he is your rear guard. So you're just surrounded by him, and to fix your thoughts upon him today as you drive, because he wants to give you new revelation. He wants to just overwhelm you with his goodness and his kindness and his love today.
Yeah, so we bless you today,
we
Brian.
Do.
We just declare, I just see you singing and whistling all the way down the road today. Whistle while you work. Do, 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 do. There you go. Good job. Tana's she comes from a long line of whistlers.
Her dad
was a good whistler.
Yep.
And so is yours, Brian.
That's
your dad,
right.
I just see him right, your Father God, right in that seat next to you. In fact, I even had a flash right now of your own. I never met your earthly father. I know he's gone on to the cloud of witnesses, but just a flash of like this feeling of pride that your earthly father, that even now in the cloud of witnesses, has over you, saying, that's my boy. That's my boy right there in that truck. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that man.
That's right. And I can't tell you where it is, but there is a verse that says God whistles.
Yeah, actually, maybe Isaiah, if I remember
probably
right.
Probably somewhere in there.
Yeah, one of the prophets that God whistles. So
that's
he's
right.
whistling with you today.
That's right. There's an anointing on the whistle in your truck today.
There you go. You're the whistling warrior.
Then we have Linda, Lily again, or Lily, however you say her name.
We usually say Lily. Do we say it right, Linda? You would tell us, right? Let us know if we're saying your name right. But we love having you with us.
We do. You're part of this family.
I know. And it's like we connect with you all through the week, Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Sundays. And you have become special in our hearts. And so we bless Linda today. Thank you, Lord. Just feeling like I don't know if you have like a blanket that you love, Linda, but just that feeling of a, like, where's my blanket you get when you're like, I know I need my blanket. It's that soft one, the one I've had for a while, and it's that feeling of warmth and security. And I feel like the Lord is saying he wants you, and you already do know this, but he's going to continue to reveal to you that he's your security, he's your warmth, he's your love, he's your grace, he's your peace, he's your healer. He's like, Linda, I am everything to you. And you don't have to worry if you left me at home or you can't find, like sometimes you can't find that blanket you're looking for. The Lord said you never have to worry about that because there's never a point that you're ever without me. There's never a point you're ever without my love. There's never a point that you're ever without my direction and guidance. And sometimes you may not even know that you're being led and guided by Holy Spirit. But in your everyday decisions, the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you. And he wants you to know and feel secure in that relationship that you have with him.
Amen. I just see your whole world filling up with the sunshine of God.
There you
and,
go.
And I just feel like in those places where you might think that they're still kind of dark or you aren't sure what's in front of you or you know, it's hard to focus, that he wants you to begin to declare, no, God is the sunshine in every corner of my world. And just watch him turn on the light. Watch him bring wisdom to you. Watch him bring revelation to you. Just you declare it. You speak it out with your mouth. Whether you can see it or not, let it be truth to you that he is the sunshine in your world. Every corner is lit up and changed with his presence.
Yeah, I can't do too much of this or we get muted, but you are the sunshine of my life.
Yeah, sing it, Brett.
So I hear him just saying that he's the sunshine of your life.
Amen. He's the source.
Yeah. I got sunshine on a cloudy day is another good
sunshine
one, too, right?
Sunshine on my shoulder.
It makes you happy. Like.
It makes me happy.
So, yeah, walk in the light. Walk in the light. You are in the light.
That's right.
Just
you,
walk
you
in that
carry that light.
Just that warm feeling of the sun.
Amen.
That you walk and you live in today.
Amen. You get like when we go sit in the sun, how we get vitamin D.
Yeah,
just
there you go.
Stay in that sunshine. Let everything that's good come to you and change your world.
Yeah, there you go. That's awesome.
Then we have Pearl, who is on getting the kids ready, heading to acute care as she's been running a high fever for 4 days now.
Oh, my goodness. You have Pearl? Pearl Lieferman?
I think so, yes.
All right, Lord, we lift up Pearl right now.
We
just
God.
Speak to that fever to go down now.
That's
whatever's
right.
at the root of it, whatever infection is in Pearl's body, right now, Pearl, we declare that infection is gone, and we
That's
declare
right.
that you are healed in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you,
we
God.
We loose you into your healing. Scripture says whatever we loose on earth
yes.
is what has been loosed in heaven. Your healing's already been loosed
That's
by
right.
Jesus. So we come into agreement with Jesus.
Yes, we do.
Come on, can't have any better prayer partner than Jesus.
That's
we
right.
We come into agreement with Jesus right now concerning your healing, that
That's
you
right.
are the healed of the Lord, Pearl, the strength in your body right now, and that it stops now
That's
in Jesus'
right.
name.
That's right. Thank you. I agree with that, Brent.
Yeah, yeah.
Linda says thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl says, yes, I can't get this to work right. Mm-hmm. Why can't I get that? Yes, I have been, but I can't see what's under it. Can you?
I'm not sure if I can. You see if you can see it.
Yeah, oh, that's what she just says. Yes, I have been.
All right. Awesome.
Well, praise
well,
God.
Well, we're saying, I mean, she may have been saying, yes, I have been to something else, but we're going to take it as,
yeah.
yes, I have been healed.
Amen. We're just declaring that over you, Pearl.
Yep, you're going to be
this
saying
is your
that.
Day.
Yep, you're going to be saying that. Because you have a mighty call on your life, Pearl.
That's right.
The call of God is on your life, and
That's
he hasn't
right.
changed his mind about you. He's lifting you up on eagle's wings even right now. You're not going to have to walk through this. He's carrying you on the wings of an eagle even right now. Anybody else?
Linda says, I sang You Are My Sunshine to my daughter, and now God, amen for healing for Pearl, no weapon formed against her.
Yeah.
Thank you, Linda, for being part of this family and for praying for the rest of us.
Yeah, you're a warrior.
You are.
A prayer warrior.
We're blessed. We're blessed to have you come on like you do. Pearl said, I meant, yes, I have been the one with the fever, but I receive it. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. We agree.
Amen. And we just declare that fever is only because God created your body in a way that your temperature would go up and fight when something's trying to attack it. So I declare her body is fighting. Her body has won.
Yep, I agree.
Jesus
Pearl, I also just saw a vision of you. Like Jesus in the book of Revelation, he only ever has the sword in his mouth. It's the only place he ever has a sword.
Amen.
And that's where the sword is, Pearl. The sword is in your mouth, and the words that you are speaking are having impact, and the words that you are speaking are cutting through the darkness and bringing the light of God. It's a sword of light. It's a sword of his grace and truth, and your words are having a good impact. And you may say, just like all of us, well, you don't know all the words I've said. Yeah, but guess what? The words that you have said that God has birthed in your heart are bigger than the words that you feel like you've said that don't come from that place, because we all have those. No, there's words of life that are on the inside of you, and God has been speaking them through you. Even your sighs. Quincy preached a word on this a while back, that even our groan goes before the throne.
That's right.
Right? And so even changes the sighs that you have are releasing the power of God and the presence of God, not only in your life, but in your family's life, and it's bigger than your family.
That's right.
That you're having impact. Your words are full of life, and we declare that in Jesus' name.
That's right. Amen. I agree with you, Brent.
Amen.
Well, let's see. I don't know if we have anybody else on with us. I think everybody's still sleeping.
Yeah, it's daylight savings, right?
Yep, so wake up, O sleeper.
Yep, and rise, and Christ's light will shine on you.
Lindy's sleeping on the front row.
Yeah, she's right there sleeping on the front row. Yeah, that's okay. Lord, release Lindy right now.
She's resting in the Lord, I think.
Exactly.
Jim Schaefer says, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. We bless you today.
We
thank you for Jim.
Thank you, God.
Jim, I feel like you're stepping into a new day of, this word again, joy. A new day of the joy of the Lord. That is, it's like the dawn even breaking forth to where you begin to see clearly again. I feel like that there's maybe you've been feeling like some things have been foggy lately, and I just see like when the sun comes up and it cuts through the fog, and I feel like the Lord is just causing that to dissipate, and it's just a clarity of vision that the Lord has given you, and a joy in your heart, even a restoration is the word that I hear as well, that he is restoring, Jim, and I hear that verse in Joel that he's restoring the years that the locust has eaten, the years that the cankerworm has eaten, the years that where the enemy would have tried to steal and even sometimes try to get you to feel regret over the past seasons of your life. But those are the past seasons of your life.
That's a new day.
And this is a day of restoration. And in scripture, restoration is always better than it was before.
The glory
of your latter days are greater than your former even. And you've seen God do some awesome things. But there's better days even that you're walking in right now than
what
you've seen in your past.
That's right. And I hear you singing, I can see clearly now.
The rain is gone.
Yeah.
In fact, God has even cleared the obstacles. It's not so you can see the obstacles in your way. I feel like he's saying he's clearing out a path before you.
That's
he's
right.
gone before you, Jim, and he's clearing out a path before you.
That's
right.
You might rise up and look forward and expect to see those same obstacles, but God says, no more. They're gone. They're gone. No more. You see clearly now.
Amen. You don't have to drive looking in the rearview mirror. You don't have to drive looking at where you've come from, only to say thank you. You can glance at the rearview mirror.
Amen.
But you don't drive looking at it. You have your eyes set ahead of you because the future is bright.
Amen.
The future is bright. It's so bright, you have to wear shades.
Amen. My sweet cousin, Sonia McClanahan, is on here.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want
Come
to bless
on.
You, Sonia, with just all the blessings of heaven, that they just overtake you today. His goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his financial provision just overtakes you today in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, I saw a picture of you, Sonia, that you're up to bat. I saw you stepping up to the plate, and I just saw a confidence in your eyes, and a confidence too in the coach, which is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Confidence saying, "Hey, I want you're the one that I want right now.
Amen.
You have it in you to whatever's being thrown at you. I just see you smacking it.
Amen.
You're smacking Amen. It in
Scott
Jesus' name.
Eklund is also on here, but I think we're running out of time, aren't we? We'll have to send Scott a word later today, huh?
Yeah, let's
we
do
will.
It.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Do you want to pray over our service this morning?
God, I do. I just thank you, God. My expectations are set high, Lord God.
Yes, God,
I just feel
you,
faith
Lord.
In the room, Lord God. I feel love in the room, that the place is just full of your hope, Lord God. And we're just anticipating all the signs, wonders, and miracles we're going to witness today, because
That's
you
right.
are here and your goodness just covers it all, God. In
That's
Jesus'
right.
name. Amen.
Amen. I encourage you to enjoy yourself today as you worship. We're going to toss it over to Chris. I do want to say somebody's being healed of a headache right now.
Right
I had
now.
That word of knowledge while Tana was praying. Somebody's being healed even right now that's watching us or going to join us later. You're being healed right now of a headache. We
Amen.
Declare in Jesus' name. All right, let's worship. Let's enjoy this beautiful day.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Woo! I'm glad you're awesome. I'm awesome too. Just like you guys. I'm going to pray and we'll get going. Let's worship the King. Father God, we come into your presence today, partnering with what you've already done. We thank you that you are a promise keeper, you are a good father, and that you are slow to anger. We thank you that we can participate in this dance. We love dancing with you. Let us see what you are doing today, that you are beckoning us closer, that you are calling us deeper into identity and less away from a bunch of head knowledge about you, into the heart, knowing who you are as a good father. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for today. It is all joy in Jesus' name. Amen. So great, so great. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. It is a good day today. And that ain't circumstantial. It's a good day because it's the day the Lord has made. Yeah, we can be a little tired today, can't we? That's okay. Even though we've lost an hour, God is the restorer of time. I feel like someone needs to hear that today, that God is the restorer of lost time. I don't just say that because it's daylight savings. I say it because many of us struggle with that. Ah, thank you, Father God. The splendor of the King, clothed in let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice.
I'll sing.
How great is our God. With me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Age to age.
Age to age, he stands.
Yes,
he Source of greatness. You aren't just great. The source of goodness, not just good. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. We can soak in your goodness this morning. We can breathe in your peace. Exhaling identity, breathing in your peace, exhaling identity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your burden is easy. Your burden is light and that your yoke is easy. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard, yeah, this tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. Good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide. You know just what we need before we say a word. perfect God calls you loved. I feel like I'm supposed to say that, remember, child, I am slow to anger. Remember, child, I am slow to anger. And if you were here on Friday, slow is almost stopped. Preacher from Quincy showing us that God's only angry when the righteous that are supposed to know they're righteous don't give grace. I had never seen that before, that he looked upon those who wouldn't give grace with anger. Not those sinners, not those filthy sinners, as we like to say. It was those being self-righteous, not God-righteous. We thank you, Lord, that you are slow to anger. So please hear that this morning. He's really put that on my heart. I know it's something we hear all the time, but I think it's for you. I know it's for you. It's for me.
We pour.
shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord.
Let's do it one more time. Oh yeah, let's give it.
All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
God, Father God, we thank you so much. You are a perfect Father. God, we connect our hearts right now to you, Father. You are our perfect Father. You are a perfect, perfect Father. In all of our insecurities, you bring security. In our love deficits, you are unconditional love. We come to you right now, Father God. We say you are our perfect Father. You are our perfect Father. We put everything outside. I just speak walls over the heart be broken down right now in Jesus' name. That the love of the Father will come upon us right now. His unconditional love. His unconditional love that surpasses all of our understanding, all of our emotions, all of our past. Thank you, Father. God, as we just get into kind of getting the children up here for children's prayer, Father, just let our hearts stay in this place, even as the children are praying and seeing your heart, Father God, hearing your heart, feeling your heart, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, Holy Spirit. All right. The children can come up for prayer. And what this looks like is we have the kids come up. We're going to help lead, but we want them praying. We're going to have a number up here in just a moment. You guys can text in. It's like a fancy gate number now. So I'll get this out for Darren. There you go. And so we have them come up, and we believe in our children. We believe in our children, and we believe that Father God has huge purpose over their life, and that they are super important to the kingdom, that they bring the kingdom just as much, sometimes even more so than we do. And so they have something to release, and we want to highlight that every Sunday morning, and that's why it's so valuable to us. And so if you guys are getting any words, words of knowledge, things to pray for, just kind of get that texted into the number right there. We'll get it here and get those things prayed for. I was thinking this morning, I was like, all right, I'm going to get God, give me a word to start off. I know Ryan likes to start off with a word. I was like, all right, God, give me a word. And he gave the name Gene, with cerebral palsy. And I was like, God, nah, let's do another one. Like, hey, anymore. You get the wheel of names going through your head, and you're like, okay, Holy Spirit. And then he's like, no, Gene with cerebral palsy. So we're going to pray for that. You know, sometimes your brain does weird things like that, you know, and I don't know how Holy Spirit works with you sometimes, but it's like when something's important to him and we just have no idea what's going on, it's like, it's so rich to listen to that word and go for it. And I know Ryan does that every week too. Our kids do that every week. So yeah, let's just pray for Gene. And help me out. Pray with me and pray, children. Are you ready? All right. Gene, we release healing over your body, over your spirit,
over your soul.
We release blessings over you. We release the peace of heaven. Gene's body align to the peace of heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, our first one,
I got Josiah with heart cancer. Dear Jesus, I pray for Josiah. I pray that his heart cancer would go away right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's good. All right. First one I see is breaking all anxiety and fear in children.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. All right, let's do it. All right. Jesus, we break all anxiety. All fear over our children. We release fearless children full of peace in our community, in our church, in our families. No more anxiety. Stress-free, releasing the kingdom in Jesus' name.
I pray for people in the hospital with heart issues, anything. God, thank you for these people who are alive, and pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so I have one that says, pray for my brother. I don't know who sent this in, but it says, pray for happiness, healing from melanoma, diabetes, and weight control.
Okay. God, we pray for our brother. Whoever it is, we know that you're right with him. Fill him with your presence, with your love, with the power of your healing. Kingdom of heaven, be released over his life.
Healing.
Healing. joy,
joy,
peace,
peace,
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I got Zach with demon issues. Dear God, I pray for Zach that those demons will get out of his body, and we'll pray that he'll get better. Those demons will strike out of his body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Freedom, freedom, in Jesus' name.
Do it together. Yeah, let's do it together. One on three, okay?
Freedom, freedom, in Jesus' name.
Come on. Awesome, all right. Okay, anything else over here? Doing good? Okay.
All right. Prayer for Dennis for healing from lung cancer.
Okay. All right, let's do it. Okay, Father God, you love Dennis. Your unconditional love for him is more powerful than anything that we can imagine. God, fill Dennis. Let him feel your unconditional love. We just release healing and blessing. Lungs. Breathe. Breathe.
Breathe.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's prayer for Al, suffering from digestive issues. Okay. And then also, my brother Mark has some of the same issues too, some digestive issues. So.
All right, we got Mark. Anyone else with digestive issues? You want healing for digestive issues? Just raise your hand. If you see them around here, just reach out your hand to them and be praying for them as we pray for Mark as well, okay? Ready? Ready, kids? God, we release healing over our digestion. That our digestive system will function properly. Will function as you made us. Completely whole and healthy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's do one more.
Okay. Here's one that just came in. It just really struck me. It's from Chelsea Lind. And it just says, "Church family, my nephew Logan is home and doing well. He is using a walker to walk and will have a road to recovery, but we know God will make his way easy. Thank you for your prayers over him. I also ask that you pray for my mom. She's been sick for 2 weeks now, and I ask that God will heal her."
All right, come on. God.
God.
You are all about family.
You're all about family.
You are a family God.
You're a family God.
And you are our Father.
You are our Father.
So we ask, Lord, to bless the Lynn family.
To bless the Lynn family.
That her mom
will experience healing.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And that her nephew will recover.
Will recover.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
No more pain.
No more pain.
No more hard time getting around. Healing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one more. It's something my wife mentioned. So, of course, you know, anyone with a wife, you know, better pray for it. Thank you. So we just have a word for praying for veterans and kind of just frontline people, police, firemen, that just are, you know, just God's heart for them this morning. So, I'm going to pray right out. God, we just pray for our veterans, God, that you would meet them where they're at, that they would experience your power, that you would connect them to a community, that you, just like they've protected us and our freedoms, God, that you would be over them with your protection, with your love, with your breakthrough. We just release financial breakthrough. We release miracles, Jesus. And over the policemen and firemen too, that they serve and protect us, God, that they save people for a living, God. And so we say that they have our back. We have their back, God. So we just release blessing and breakthrough over their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, so we're going to dismiss the children. So right out and down the hallway there, the first door to the right, we have our 3 and 4 year olds. Down one more room is our nursery. And then over here in the gym is our 5 to 11 year olds. So yeah, kids are dismissed as well as the youth. Youth are going upstairs.
Awesome. Thank you, Jamie. That was really good. Really good. So we want to welcome you this morning to join us this in giving and receiving today. If you would like to give this morning, there are a number of ways that you can do that. You'll see on the screen some ways that you can give electronically. Otherwise, the way that we bring our physical gifts to the Lord, our checks are our cash. You can make your checks out to the gate. And we also have envelopes for cash giving. Is we come down the center aisle together, and then we divide off and we give into what we call planters, because we believe when we give financially, we're sowing seed into the work of God's kingdom. So we invite you to come and be a part of giving. But also, it's a time of receiving. It's a time of receiving communion. We do this every week. We have an opportunity to allow Jesus to, do you remember when Jesus wanted to wash Peter's feet? And Peter kind of pushed back on that. It's hard sometimes for us to allow, and here I'm going to say this, to allow Jesus to serve us. We want to just say, we need to serve the Lord. Well, the only reason we ever serve the Lord is because we first receive from Him. So I want to encourage you today, as you come to the table, the way that we receive communion, as you pass by, you'll notice we have the juice and also the crackers that you can receive. And then take them, if you want to receive with other people, you'll notice there's some little groups of people that gather and do that. Or by yourself during the time that the band is playing, then you can just receive by yourself between you and the Lord. But let Jesus serve you today. He's serving up a great meal. He's serving up a great meal, a meal called healing, a meal called grace, a meal called freedom, a meal called deliverance. That's what's on the plate. And didn't your mama teach you to clean your plate? Right. So I want to encourage you to come receive. Let's stand together. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to bring our gifts to you, but also to receive from you at the table of the Lord. And we give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that when you broke that bread, you said it was your body given for us. When you took that cup, you said it was your blood that was shed for us. So God, we thank you that your body and your blood speak healing, freedom, deliverance, and grace over us as we receive this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. As the band plays, let's just come and receive and give this morning.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. One more time. Sing a blessing over you. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done already this morning. And you ain't done yet. We thank you that you're drawing us closer and closer and closer to the heart of grace. We pray today for the message that you've given to Pastor Brent that proceeds out of his mouth into the hearts of your beloved. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe somebody could hand me one of the handhelds while Lance is working on this. Somebody run one of those up to me real quick. Sorry, I'm not moving. Oh, thank you, bro. Was it battery?
There's a little switch on the side there.
That got flipped? All right. Thank God for Lance, right? If you were wanting the slick, polished church, you are not in the right place. That is not us. We're way more about authenticity, and also, and I don't mean that we don't care. We do care, but that we're way more about authenticity and being real than we are about being slick and perfect, because we don't even want to model that we believe that everybody's slick and perfect. We're all in process, right? So you're like, well, who are you and why are you up front? Just in case you're new, my name is Brent. I'm lead pastor here, and we want to welcome you. I'm sitting today just because I've had a bunch of pain in my heel this week. I don't know what it is yet. I'll go to the doctor. Actually, let's just get healed today and don't have to go to the doctor. It's fine. But I'll get checked and figure out what that is if I need to go to the doctor. But I do know this. Scripture says, he may bruise your heel, but you will crush his head, the enemy. So that's the way I'm taking it. That's the way I'm taking it today. I'm turning it around for good. But I want to welcome you this morning. I'm glad you're in the house today. If you're new, I'm going to invite you under the seats in front of you. You'll notice there's some Bibles, and inside those Bibles is a welcome home card. So I encourage you to take one of those cards and fill it out if you would. Let us get to know you a little bit better. At the end of service, someone would love to meet you. At the back of the room, we have a little lit up area back there. That's our bookstore. If you'll head back there at the end of service, someone will meet you back there and give you a free gift as our way of saying thanks for hanging out with us today. And we would love to get to know you a little bit better. So please do that if you would this morning. Also, just want to let you know a few things that are happening around here. You'll notice on the screen there's going to be a QR code. It's also on the seats in front of you. Always, at any time, you can take your phone, open the camera app, point it at that QR code, and it will take you to a landing page where you can get more familiar with who we are as the gate. But I do want to highlight a few things that are happening so that you can get them on your calendars if you'd like to. First of all, tonight, somebody say tonight. So tonight at 6 p.m., Jared Navy is going to be sharing, we're calling it Missions, It's for Everyone. And recently, Jared was just in New Orleans, and did a wonderful missions trip, was a part of a wonderful missions trip that had a huge impact, carried a cross through the city, and saw God do some cool things. But he's been doing this. This isn't the first time he's done it. Some of you know that if you've been here before. Jaron's one of our elders, he and JoLynn. And so he's going to share tonight in a way that not only tells the story about what God has been doing through missions in his own life, but we are also believing God that tonight will catapult some others into the missions call that God has for you and I as well. So you don't want to miss it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We're going to worship together, but also we're going to have an opportunity to hear from Jaron. So we invite you to come out tonight at 6 o'clock right here in the sanctuary this evening. Then this weekend is our men's getaway. I can't believe it's almost here. And that is coming up this weekend, March 15th through the 17th. And we'll be gone next week. In fact, all of our men should be at the retreat this next week. If you can be there at all, I would encourage you to be there. We do have a great team back here that will be ministering. Pastor Tana is going to be bringing the word next Sunday morning. So it's going to be an awesome time. I encourage you to be here for that if you're not with the men at men's retreat. But we want to encourage you to come out and join us. And rather than me talk about it this morning, Kale Foster put together a video for us to check out. I'm going to stay seated right here, but don't look at me. Look at the screen and check out this video.
Where we just get to hang out, play pool, and make connections that just normally don't get to make.
You're teaching me with my imperfections.
The connection with others and kind of that baptism of love from Father God.
Having the visual representation of a hug, of a papa's hug.
You're loved as you are, who you are.
Lean into God. He's a loving father. Here's my greens.
You're teaching me with my imperfections.
Dude, I don't have to work to gain God's love.
If you do something wrong, he's not correcting the whip.
Direction, I'm undone, unraveling my plans. Make me whole again, rebuild me from the inside out. In a way only you know how.
I feel like I've just become a lot closer to God, too. And just, I feel like I have a larger sense of belonging.
Just that fresh release of hope.
Being able to learn to be vulnerable again.
Strengthening and where God has you and where he wants you to go.
Because men need to take a stand, and no better way than to gather together as a group of men to encourage one another, pray for one another.
I think making this a priority is a time to refresh yourself so that you can be your best self and be better.
Because you're worth it.
You really can't put your finger on exactly what you're going to experience when you walk through those doors back there for the next 3 days, but you know it's going to be awesome.
You know, I got some healing that I didn't even realize that I needed.
Like, everybody's got so much out of this.
A lot of those guys are not coming because they don't feel like they got a buddy around or they got a friend in the church. And I feel like you're going to find them here. Like, you'll realize that all of us dudes are pretty similar. And, like, you're going to find a buddy.
Good, huh? Tana just said she wants to go. Tana, I know I said watch the screen, but I saw you. You just kept watching me. I know. It's okay. No, Kel did a fantastic job on that, by the way. And yes, excellent. Very good. And you don't want to miss it, guys. Doesn't that make you want to go? Doesn't it make you want to be there? It is so worth it. And my dear friend Sam Rockwell is going to be the speaker. He's also one of our overseers that I don't think anybody except Tan and I know. So this will be an opportunity for you to get to know one of the overseers of the gate, who I've pulled on and called on for wisdom while we've been here. We've known Sam for over a couple of decades. He's been our pastor in seasons in the past in Foursquare, the denomination that we're ordained with. Sam was our pastor and our supervisor. And he carries a lot of wisdom. And guys, he's already talked to me about what he's going to share with us. And he's going to be speaking to us all weekend, I believe, on Gideon and the life of Gideon and beginning to see ourselves the way God sees us. And so it is going to be a great time. Don't miss out. If you are concerned about being able to go for any reason, let us know. Jake is doing everything he can. Where's Jake Meyer? Is he here this morning? Jake's counting. Every week he's counting. Jake is the count. But talk to Count Jake, because he would love to help you be able to go, or talk to one of us. One of the guys will be at the Men at the Gate sign out in the foyer. You'll see it out there. Talk to one of us. We want to make sure that you're able to be there, guys. We don't want you to miss out. Then it is, I can't believe this month already it's time to start talking about Resurrection Week, and we're going to be celebrating. You'll notice I don't usually call it Easter, not that I'll get on to anybody for doing that, but I love to call it what it is. It's the week to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so we're going to be doing that together. And on March 24th is one of Tan and I's favorite Sundays of the year. It's Palm Sunday. And it's kind of become a tradition over the last few years to do what we call palms and pancakes. And our elders actually prepare pancakes for and serve you, the body, on that day. So we want to encourage you to come out, have some pancakes and sausage. It is a great time to hang out before service. So come early that morning, and it is going to be an amazing day anyways. Our Ethiopian church family is going to be singing for us in Amharic that morning. And we're going to have a blast that day. So that's not the only thing happening that week. Friday, March the 29th at 6 p.m. is our youth-led Good Friday service. Pastor Tracy is planning an interactive time where we're going to come together and have opportunity to actually experience various stations where we look at the death and the burial of Jesus and what happened that week. And so we want to encourage you to come out. It's not for youth, it's by youth for you. So I encourage you to get that on your calendar. Don't skip from Palm Sunday past Good Friday and go from the palm waving to the celebrating the resurrection. Let's take time to actually think on and celebrate, and I do use that word, because we are on the other side of the cross, and we can look back and celebrate what Jesus did for us on Good Friday. All right, and then another thing, I don't have this, I should mention this. March 31st, of course, is Resurrection Sunday, the big celebration day, and we're going to have a photo booth that day for you to take pictures with you, with your friends, your family, and so we're going to have that here that morning, and we're just going to partay. All right, we're going to not party, we're going to partay that day. So I want to encourage you to come out and be a part of it. And then something else, it's not in any of our, you're not going to find it on our website or anywhere yet, because it just came together recently. But the 6th through the 8th of September, and I know this is way out, but I want you to get it on your calendars. Quincy and I met and talked yesterday. We're going to do a joint conference with Quincy that we're co-sponsoring with Quincy Good Star Ministries, called Great Grace and Great Power. And this is so awesome. Bonnie and Mahesh Shavda are going to be here that weekend. So for those of you who don't know who the Shavdas are, look them up. So Bonnie will be here in person, and Mahesh is actually going to join us live stream that weekend. But Bonnie will be here in person that weekend, and they flow and operate in supernatural power gifts, and miracles are a normal part of their ministry. They're kind of spiritual parents to Quincy. Are they not kind of? They are spiritual parents to Quincy. And so we're super excited that they're going to join us for that weekend. And of course, don't blow past Pentecost weekend around here, where that's May the something, whatever it is. Chris Burns is going to be here. I think it's the third weekend in May. Chris Burns is going to be here that weekend with us, and we'll be doing 50 hours of praying in the Spirit. It's going to be awesome, and lots of good things coming up this year. So grab your Bibles, grab your notes. If you're from where I am in the South, it's not your Bible, it's your Bible. Grab your Bible and your notes, and we're this morning on a continuous series called Today, Learning to Live the Right Here, Right Now kind of life that God wants us to walk in. Remember, we can get kind of caught up in our past. We can be looking in the rearview mirror. How many know that a rearview mirror, and I do not speak from experience, as a legally blind guy, I have not been practicing driving lately, all right? I am going to drive, I'm declaring in Jesus' name, believing for that 2020 vision, but I don't have a whole lot of experience behind the wheel. But from what I understand, you're not supposed to always be looking in the rearview mirror. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I'm right from those who drive in the room. It's okay to glance at the rearview mirror. It's helpful to glance at the rearview mirror, but we don't live there, right? We live with our eyes focused on the road that's ahead of us. In fact, I know this, that the little bit of time that I did drive, when I wanted to drive so bad, when I was in college, they used to say, if you're wearing bright clothes or whatever, don't wave as Brent's going by, because if he sees you, he'll drive toward you. Like, you drive in the direction of your focus, right? In fact, they'll tell motorcycle riders that, right? Don't look at where you don't want to go. Look at where you want to go. Right? Have your eyes focused in the direction of the future that God has for you. But the only way to get there is by being present here. So we don't want to get caught looking in the rearview mirror, and we don't want to get caught thinking about what's 500 miles down the road, but we want to learn to live in the right here, right now. And that's what we've been talking about, and we've been using Psalm 118, verse 24 is kind of our springboard passage. So let's read this one out loud together. Ready? Read. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Yeah, that's a good word for today. We'll come back to this verse later. We're going to spend some time in it later, but I think it kind of sets the tone for the whole idea that God made this day, right? And this is an opportunity for us to rejoice and be glad. Now, I know as a pastor, I will say this, this is my least favorite day of the year, only because everybody loses an hour of sleep, including me, right? Everybody loses an hour of sleep the night before. So go ahead right now, if you would, and just yawn. Go ahead and get it out of your system right now. Get the yawning done. Even have a sympathetic yawn for me, if you would. If you don't feel like yawning, just go ahead and yawn. But I believe God has something really awesome for us this morning that he wants to speak to us. I began kind of talking about this. I didn't finish this thought last week, so I want to continue down the trail of where the Lord had us last week. And it's that God has a right here, right now word for us. And specifically in your notes, he has a word within his word, speaking of scripture, to lead you into a deeper relationship with the word, Jesus Christ himself. So we begin to talk about the value of scripture, and I kind of took this from Proverbs 22:19, where it says, so that your trust may be in the Lord, I have instructed you today. Even you, Brent, even you, Tana, I've instructed you today. Even you, Benjamin, the Lord speaks to you today. I love that word today. And then the way I stumbled across this passage is, again, I was just looking up every single passage in the scripture that had the word today in it, just saying, God, is there something that you want us to focus on where you're saying, this is something I have for you today? And as I read that, even though this verse was specifically written about what Solomon was writing in Proverbs, the principle that I felt like the Lord was speaking to me is that this applies to all of scripture. And that God wants to speak to us daily from Scripture. And just saying how highly we value Scripture here at the Gate. I want to reaffirm that. But also, me personally, how much I just love. I'm at the point in my life where I love the Bible more than I ever have. I love Scripture more than I ever have. And at the same time, I think one of the reasons that I love the Word so much is because the Lord's helping me to properly place the word in my life where it belongs. I know there was a time in my life where I probably put the word up inside of the Trinity. I put scripture up inside of the Trinity. Have you ever heard anybody make that joke? For some people, it's Father, Son, and Holy Bible, not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard that? Well, I grew up Pentecostal, and so there was never not Holy Spirit. I mean, that was just, Holy Spirit's been a part of my life my whole life. But it was like the Bible was the fourth member of the Trinity. When the Bible itself is not God, the Bible is a way that God has given me to encounter Him. It is a unique book like no other book. It is a God-breathed book. That's what it calls itself, right? In Paul's writing to Timothy. It is a God-breathed book, and I absolutely love Scripture because in Scripture, I encounter the God who gave us the Scripture. And so we began to talk about this last week, and without going over all of that again, I do want to come back to John chapter 2, verse 17. And again, we don't know if Jesus actually cleansed the temple twice during his ministry or if he only cleansed it once, depending on the commentator that you read. Nobody knows for sure. If you look at the book of John, it's the only one of the four Gospels where it puts this toward the beginning of the book. The rest of them have it at the end of his ministry at the Passion Week, actually, where he comes in and cleanses the temple. But irregardless, whether he cleansed the temple twice or cleansed it once, he wants a temple cleansed, right? That's the point. And also, the principle that I want to draw from it, we can read in verse 17, after he had cleansed the temple, the disciples remembered this prophecy from the Scripture, passion from God's house will consume him. Now remember, and Quincy pointed this out Friday night, his teaching was so good. The teaching was, and Chris alluded to it, is that God isn't angry with you. It was a great teaching. But one of the things he pointed out is that there's only one place that you can find that Jesus was angry, and it's not here. We typically think, well, he was probably angry when he cleansed the temple. He was actually angry when he was wanting to heal someone on the Sabbath day, and people were watching him to see if he was actually going to heal that person so they could accuse him. That made him angry. He was angry that they didn't care for that person that needed healing that day. But he's not angry at you. And he wasn't angry this day. He's doing what he sees the Father doing. He's passionate about his house. And he's passionate that nobody keeps people away from him and away from his love. And so they remember that this is written in Scripture about him, though, that passion for God's house will consume me. But the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it. And all right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What? They exclaimed, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days? But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this. Here's the part I want us to land on. And they believed both the Scriptures and what Jesus had said. They believed both the Scriptures and what Jesus had said, which at that time, you remember that the only Scripture that they had was the Old Testament. And I want to clearly say that we need the Old Testament. But we need the Old Testament understood from this side of the cross. And that's what Jesus begins to do on the road to Emmaus, right? He begins to unpack that inside the Old Testament, all of Scripture points to Him. And if I'm not seeing Jesus in the Scripture that I'm reading, then I'm not reading the Scripture with Jesus, actually. I'm not getting the revelation that Holy Spirit wants me to have if it doesn't lead me into encounter with Jesus, because that's what God wants Scripture to do for us. They remembered the Scripture pointed towards Jesus, having passion and zeal for his house, and they remembered that he had some things he was saying to them that at that point weren't yet in Scripture. They didn't violate Scripture. In fact, they brought greater understanding of Scripture to them. But I want you to see both those phrases, the Scriptures and what Jesus said. So in your notes, the Scriptures rightly divided are the foundation of our understanding of what God is doing right here, right now. I believe that. This is the understanding of what God is doing right here, right now in our life. But rightly dividing the Word, we talked about this last week, but I want to repeat it, is reading the Bible in the context of the finished work of the cross. So I read the Bible with the understanding of what Jesus has already accomplished in, as, and for me and you. And on the understanding, if you want more of that, go back to last week's stream and you can check that out. So the written word in your notes,
The written word, which we very highly value, is meant to lead us to the living word. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. They believe the scriptures, and they also believe what Jesus was speaking to them. They remembered his voice. That's what I talk about this morning, the voice of the Lord. John 10:4, somebody say 10:4, good buddy. John 10:4 does not say his sheep know his book. It says that we know his voice. I'm going to say that again because I'm quoting the book about the book. I'm quoting the book about Jesus. By Jesus himself said this. Or what he did not say was that his sheep know his book. It says that we know his voice. And you can find that in multiple translations. I list several of them right here. That the intention of the book is to acclimate us to the voice. Let me say that again. The intention of Scripture, God's intention in giving us Scripture, is not just that we would know Scripture. The Pharisees knew Scripture. The devil knows Scripture. The devil knows Scripture maybe better than many of us, actually. Maybe probably most of us. The devil used Scripture on Jesus in his temptation, right? Are you with me, right? So God's intention was never that we simply know Scripture, but that through Scripture we know him. Through Scripture we know the voice of God. Your notes, religion idolizes concepts and avoids personal experience. Religion idolizes concepts. Religion will use the Bible to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Religion will use the Bible to teach 10 steps to this and 7 steps to this and 5 steps to this. How many of you have heard plenty of sermons? I've preached them, all right? And then I tried them over and over, right? 7 steps, 5 steps, 4 steps to faith, 7, whatever. All the steps. And if we just get the steps right and I pull the lever, either one. I don't, that's a weird picture, isn't it, pulling the lever? So if I pull the lever, I'm gonna get 7s. You know, it's like, if I just do this exactly, if I find the things to do and the things not to do, and I don't do the things I'm not supposed to do, and I do the things I'm supposed to do, then God, you are going to do what I'm asking you to do. Because I will use your book on you, God. You gave me this book to get you to do what I want you to do. I know we wouldn't say that, but I wonder how many times we've kind of approached it like that, right? Or just eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Like, I want to know what not to do and I want to know what to do. And I'm not saying there aren't principles in Scripture, because there definitely are principles in Scripture. But even the principles itself cannot be walked out devoid of the person. Without relationship with the author of the book, the whole thing's about relationship with the author of the book. I'm going to give you a couple of quotes from Bill Johnson this morning that are really good on this whole idea, this whole concept. Revelation that doesn't lead to a God encounter only serves to make me more religious. Unless Scripture leads me to Him, I only become equipped to debate with those who disagree with my way of thinking. Knowledge puffs up. That's what 1 Corinthians 8:1 says. So if all I'm doing is going to Scripture for information, and all I'm doing is going to Scripture and not having an encounter with him, I'm just going to become a better debater. And that is a lot of what we see from Christians on social media, isn't it? In fact, sometimes it's how many milliseconds will it be from the time when a Christian posts something to when the next Christian tells them they're wrong? I wonder how many milliseconds that is before that happens. I know this probably isn't true, but sometimes I feel like there are certain people who actually have Facebook or X, you can't call it Twitter anymore, right? Instagram, whatever, open, waiting for something to be said so that they can correct it. the Bible police, right? I'm not saying accurate doctrine isn't important. It is. Accurate doctrine is super important. But our doctrine better begin with good Christology. It better begin with Christ, in other words. Jesus himself is perfect theology. And I don't want to be the kind of person who's known for what a great debater I am. In fact, I'm really not even that good at that. So if you ever want to get in an argument with me, you're probably going to win, just so you know. If you want somebody to beat in an argument, come talk to me. If that's what you're looking for, you need somebody to beat in an argument. When it's, you know, you're in a situation and people are going back and forth, my brain doesn't necessarily function unless it's humor and it's Scott and I telling jokes to each other, then that's different, right? But when there's like, you're going to have to prove your point and you're going to have to prove it against my point right now, I don't even want to play that game, honestly. And I don't do it well, so things I don't do well, I usually don't want to do. How about you guys? And I know that some people, I have another friend, a really good friend. He's awesome. He has a huge heart, but he's also a debate teacher. And he can take either side of it and prove it. I mean, he can take either side of the debate. And you pick one and he'll pick the other and he will probably win the argument. But I don't think we were actually placed on the planet to win the argument. I think that maybe you and I are here to plant the kingdom of God, and that you and I are maybe here to actually, if we're going to have good Christology, God's intention was for us to actually, we are his body, or we embody Christ to the world, that people can actually encounter Jesus through us, not just encounter how right we are. Another friend of mine used to always say, I don't remember where he got this from, but he used to always say, when I gave up love to be proved right, that's the moment I went wrong. When I gave up love just to be proved right, that's the moment where I went wrong. I don't just want to know the book. I want to have encounter when I go to the book. Because then I'm actually carrying something to give someone. Not just winning an argument, but I'm carrying something that I can give to somebody that will be life-giving and that'll be life-transforming. And that people can actually encounter Jesus through the words, the exchange that we have with one another. So in your notes, let's look for presence, not just principles, when we go to Scripture. Or in other words, let's look for encounters. When I say presence, I don't mean that God's here sometimes and not here other times, because he is. I love what Chris Burns says, when we worship, God doesn't show up, we do. That is a great phrase, by the way. When we worship, it's not that God shows up, it's that we show up and we actually begin to discern the presence of the Lord that was already there before we got there. If I got to worship to get God to show up, what kind of God am I serving? But what if I worship a God who's already moving and already working, and in my worship I get my eyes off myself and on him, right? And see what he's actually up to. And I think that happens when we read Scripture too, if we read it with the Emmaus kind of thing, that I want my heart to burn within me as you speak to me on the road. That's what happened to them, right? He opened up their eyes to see him in the Scripture. That's what I want to happen as I'm spending time with Jesus in his word. Not just looking for principles, but actually looking for encounter. What is the encounter that you want me to have with you? And what is it that you're speaking to me? What is it you're saying, encountering you in Scripture? The other thing I wanted to share about God's voice this morning is that God's voice is bigger than his book. God's voice is bigger than his book. Bill says this better than I can, so in fact, that last statement I think is one of his too. But I know this is his. The Bible is the absolute word of God. It reveals God, the obvious, the unexplainable, the mysterious, the sometimes offensive. It all reveals the greatness of our God, yet it does not contain him. God is bigger than his book. Oh, I guess he did say that. It reveals him, but it does not contain him. The Bible came from God. The Bible is not God. The Bible comes, I can even say that, because he speaks to us through his word. That he speaks to us through his word. But the Bible itself is not God. Otherwise, we commit biblio-idolatry. We worship the Bible instead of worshiping the God of the Bible. worshiping the one who gave us and gives us his life-giving word. And if I worship the Bible disconnected from knowing God, then I am actually going to get a picture of a God that's not even a real God. The enemy will use Scripture to paint a picture of a God that isn't even real. Rather than I go into Scripture with the author of the book, who then reveals to me the reality of who Jesus is on every page and opens up my eyes to see Him. Does that make sense? Hope that makes sense. I am not downplaying Scripture at all. I love Scripture. You should be concerned if I got up and didn't preach from the Bible. I do every single week, right? I love the book more than I ever have, but it's because I'm encountering Jesus in the book. It's because I'm encountering Him actually now in my life, thank the Lord, on a daily basis. I love, and for me personally, to listen to Scripture. And just let it wash over me. Does anybody enjoy that? Just let it wash over me. And sometimes I'll run across a passage that I'll go, I don't know how the heck I'm supposed to see Jesus in that. Anybody else ever have that happen? I mean, those are kind of conversations we need to have, right? Because people have those. And then they're like, well, we don't talk about this in church. Like, I run across a passage about killing all the Amalekites. And I'm like, and the children and dashing babies against the stones. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on here? And it takes God then to go back into that and see Jesus revealed, His goodness, and see what is God and what's not God. Did you know that everything... Did you know that everything we read in Scripture doesn't mean it's written there because it's the exact thing that God wants us to take and apply to our life? Example, book of Job. A big chunk of the book of Job, God Himself says, was three guys telling Job stuff that wasn't right. So we pull a passage out of the book of Job from one of those three guys that's telling Job stuff that's not true about God, and then we apply it. No, no, no. We want to see what are you saying to us in the big picture of Job, not pull one little cherry-picked verse out and then take a verse that maybe doesn't even line up with the rest of what Scripture reveals to be true about God. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. Going back into it saying, Jesus, what is the big picture here? What is it that you're speaking to me? What is it that you're saying to me? Oh, as long as I'm on it, all right? So Quincy did a phenomenal job several weeks ago about preaching about the book of Job, about how Job himself had one of his major problems was he wanted to defend his own righteousness. So Job himself throughout the book is championing Job, right? In fact, I do believe one thing true about the book of Job. If I read the book of Job and Job is the biggest hero and God's not, then I've missed something. Job's the biggest hero in the book. He never did anything wrong. No, he said all kinds of stuff that wasn't right. However, this is the thing I love about God. This is amazing to me that at the end of the book, once God reveals to Job, you remember that whole last part of the book? And he says, where were you when I made the heavens? Where were you when I... And he begins to question Job. He asks him all these questions that are actually meant to lead Job into encountering the reality of who God was in his life and who God is in his life in that moment. So he asks him all these questions, and then when he finishes, Job says this, I'm going to shut up now. I've spoken of things I did not understand. Right? So Job has this point of repentance. His mind has changed and turned around. And then God at the end of it says, he actually says about Job, he says, you three didn't speak rightly about me like Job has. And I'm reading the rest of the book going, Job didn't always speak rightly of you. But for God, here's a cool revelation. And I just heard someone say this the other day about the book of Job. That for God, he was thrilled that Job had the conversation with him. The other people just told Job what to think. Job brought it to God. Job brought his complaint before the Lord. Job processed it out with God, and God said, that's good, I like that. That's my son. That's my servant Job right there. Oh, when you start reading Scripture and you look at it with Jesus, all kinds of things come out of the book to as a revelation of how Jesus processes things with us. So in the light of the cross, you and I can look, well, first of all, Job happened before the cross. And sometimes people, oh, I'm just Job. I'm just Job. I'm just struggling. My life is Job. He is the word over my life. Look, Job's thing lasted 9 months. And let's get done with it then. Let's have our 9 months and be over being Job, all right? But secondly, we live on the other side of that in a new covenant, a better covenant. We live in a better covenant where we can learn from Job. There are things we can process it. And one of the new covenant things that we can learn is that Jesus counts it as righteousness and goodness just having the conversation with him. He will correct our thinking if we'll talk it out with him. That's one of the lessons I learned from Job, is I can pour out any of my stuff. I can yell at God. I can get angry at God. And I do. I was just talking with Lance about that this morning, and we were praying for Sabrina, which we do lift up Sabrina today. And God, I thank you for her, God, that you are healing her body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we were talking about as husbands what it feels like to hurt when your wife hurts. And I've had some yelling matches with God over that. And you know what? I'm not dead. He didn't strike me down. He loved me, and he still loves me through it. And he met me in it. And he keeps meeting me in the conversation and changing my mind about who he is. He changes my mind as he continues to reveal to me how really, really, really good he is. How really, really good he is to us. And that season we went through where Tana was in the hospital, and we look back on it now, and when we were in it, I had one night where Tana said she was crying and screaming, and she said, "Where's God?" And I said, "I don't know." And that's a bad place when both of you don't know where God's at, right? But we look back on it now, and we can see where God had prepared him the way for us and had us go right at the right time to the hospital. So they found out exactly what was going on, and we found out later that what she had should have killed her, and it didn't. So there's stuff you learn along the way, right, by processing it with the Lord. I know I'm just rambling today, so ramble on, Brim. Keep rambling into the rest of the sermon, actually. You guys got to help me with this. Don't amen me, or I'll stay on bunny trails. Right? So, thank you. So, back to the regularly scheduled program. John 2:22. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, which we already read that. They remember the scriptures and what Jesus had said. So it's both of those, the scriptures and what he says to us through his living voice right now. Not only through the scriptures, but what he speaks to us that doesn't contradict the scriptures, but actually even helps us understand the scriptures better. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, in the temptation of Jesus, he says this, the scriptures say, I love this verse, bread alone will not satisfy. Remember the enemy told him to turn the bread to stone, which, by the way, that's where we are the world. We are the world. Anybody remember that song? There's this verse in there, as God has shown us by turning stone to bread. No, he did not turn the stones to bread. That was the temptation, right? They said, scriptures say bread alone will not satisfy. This is what Jesus said. But true life is found in every word. So he pulls this right out of the scripture. True life is found in every word, look at this, which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. Constantly goes forth. In other words, God's always speaking. God's always speaking. Scripture teaches us this. Jesus teaches us this by him speaking scripture out. He says, I want you to understand that we aren't satisfied by what we can get in this life alone, but by every word that is constantly going forth from the mouth of God. So, God is always speaking. And then Hebrews 3:7-8 says this, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, and this is like five times in Scripture this is repeated, today if you hear his voice. When's it today?
Right here, right now.
Exactly. It's today, right here, right now. So we want to listen for his voice as we read Scripture, right? We're listening for the present tense voice of God. So this is Tana's paraphrase, and it's my favorite paraphrase of Ephesians 1:18, based on the study that she did of the Greek words in this passage. May the screen of your imagination be lit up with pictures so that you might know by experience the hope of your calling. May the screen of your imagination, these are what these words mean in this passage. May the screen of your imagination be lit up with pictures so that you might know by experience the hope of your calling. So as we read Scripture, we're not just reading it to get the words off the page, but to actually give us a grid, a paradigm, a way in which we encounter the voice of God. Scripture sanctifies our imagination. Sometimes when you were a little kid, your parents say, "Oh, that's just your imagination." And it's downplayed or it's belittled. All right, you just go ahead and stay. Be slain. Jesus! There you go. You're down. So, what am I even talking about? Imagination. So, Scripture like lights up our imagination, right? We aren't supposed to downplay our imagination. Actually, God wants to heighten our imagination. He wants to sanctify, if you want to use a biblical word, which just means set apart for the right use. He wants to set our imagination on fire and ablaze and speak to us through our imagination. And one way that he can do that is through Scripture. In fact, that is one of the ways that our imagination, we begin to get metaphors and pictures of how God speaks through Scripture. So what I wanted to do this morning is take a moment and have you close your eyes, if you would, and I'm going to read Revelation chapter 4 to you. And as I read it, I want you to let your imagination go. I mean, I want you to allow Scripture to ignite or to paint a picture, whatever words you want to use, in your imagination of what you hear. These aren't just words. This is reality. And so here it is. Listen to these words and see what pictures come up in your mind. "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. The seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the four elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created.'" All right, you can open your eyes. Did anybody see anything while I was reading that? Did that like paint a picture? Even better than a picture, did you see the movie? Like you're watching it, watching the scene around the throne. I believe as we read Scripture, God wants us to encounter Him in our imagination so that we recognize His voice when He speaks to us. It gives Him words and pictures to work with, to use even for us when He's speaking to us, that we can have these encounters with Him. We'll go, "Oh yeah, I saw that," or "I remember seeing that in my mind when I was reading Scripture." And He continues to speak to us out of those pictures and out of those words. I love it. I love it. I love it. I encourage you, use your imagination as you read Scripture. So I want to encourage you to do that as you read Scripture. Also, listen for His voice around us. Don't only listen as you read Scripture, but listen for His voice around us, through nature, through other people, through the radio, through movies, through angels, and even preachers. God speaks through Scripture, but that's not the only way He speaks. God's Scripture reveals that God speaks through dreams, through visions, hearing Him, through our imagination. He speaks on the inside of us, and He also speaks, Romans 1 said, through nature around us. So we listen and we look for His voice in the world around us. Have you ever been listening to the radio or have Spotify playlist on, and all of a sudden a song comes up that you needed to hear at that moment? And it's not just because you had it on Christian radio. Have you ever had that happen? That some song popped in your head, and boom, it was the Lord speaking to you through that song. He has all kinds of different ways that He speaks to us. I mean, it's like God was like, I'm not just going to have one linear one way that I speak. I'm with so many ways so that I am sure to get my message to you. That's how good He is. It's not just through reading a book. Yes, reading the Scripture is primary. It's super important, and we need Scripture. But Scripture itself shows us that God speaks in a multiplicity of ways because He wants us to know Him. What kind of relationship would it be in? You know, sometimes, and I bought into this lie myself. Well, God just isn't speaking to me for this long 3-year season. The Lord didn't say a word. If I didn't say a word to my wife for 3 years, there'd be some problems. I can promise you that's not a relationship. It's not how God functions today if you hear His voice. He is a communicating God. He speaks to us. He may not be talking about what we're talking about. He may want to change the subject, right? To help us grow. But He is always, always, always speaking to us, and He wants us to hear His voice. So then also in your notes, listen for His voice within us. Because that's where He lives. Why wouldn't He speak from inside here? This is where He lives. So I'm quickly going to hit on these three ways, and there are more. But I want to hit on three primary ways that we can hear God speak to us on the inside of us and personally. First of all, through mental images or pictures. You know, Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree before He met him. How did He see that? He saw that on the inside. He had a picture that the Lord revealed to him, that Father spoke to him and showed him, you're going to meet Nathanael. We should expect the same thing, that sometimes speak to us through, that's why we want to read the Scripture with our imagination and let God begin to say, hey, we've used our imagination for a lot worse things. Why not have that gift of imagination be used for things of His kingdom, right? So these mental pictures, these things He shows us on the inside. So, and this could seen an open vision with your natural eyes. Some of you have had that happen before, right? Peter had that happen in Acts 10. But He speaks to us as a lot, most of the time, if you're a seer, that's one of the primary ways that you hear from God, is by these mental pictures, by these images that God brings to the screen of your mind. That could be one of the ways that He does speak. Then also through physical sensations and heartfelt impressions. There are some of you that are feelers, and you feel, you sense things. Right, you sense things. In fact, Isaiah 55:12 says, we will go out with joy, we will be led with peace. And there's this sensing of a knowing on the... Have you ever felt that way before? I just know something. You ever heard anybody say, I had a check in my spirit about that? We're not talking about a check that someone wrote, right? But they're saying, something in my... I've heard it described before like a traffic light on the inside. Sometimes you can sense the traffic light's green. Sometimes it's red, which means stop, and sometimes it's yellow, which means, yeah, I knew you were going to get that. I knew who would get it, too. Punch it, go faster. No, it means caution, right? It means caution, go slower. So you can feel that on the inside of you. So God speaks to you feeling, right? He speaks to you through seeing. But also God can speak to you through hearing words or words in thought form. God can speak to you in your mind. Through thoughts, through words. John 16:13 promises that the Spirit will speak to believers. So, yes, this can include audibly hearing God. I've never audibly heard God, but I have many friends who have. Has anybody here audibly heard God? Raise your hand real high, because some of you maybe have. That's awesome. I think that's phenomenal. And it's cool when God does that. But, believer, I want you to know that your goal doesn't have to be to audibly hear Him when He lives in the house. Because I don't want anybody feeling like you're less than if you haven't heard an audible voice. That He lives on the inside. He doesn't have to talk from out here. He talks from right inside here. He speaks from in here. He doesn't have to yell at you when He lives here on the inside of you. And he can speak to you in thought forms or in word forms. A lot of times when I'm praying for people or prophesying over someone, I'll get a picture, but I'll get more when I begin to talk. And words just bubble up out of me. And there's one of the Hebrew words called nabi for the prophets of the Old Testament. And that was a bubbling up of words from the inside. I've found that to be true in my life. I call it speaking in tongues in English. I feel like it's coming out of me sometimes so quickly that it's like I'm not having time to even think about it with my brain. I'm just releasing what I feel like the Lord is in that moment. And it's almost like He's using English as tongues in my life. I know that sounds weird, but it's what it feels like to me. And that is God just speaking through words. He can use words as one of the ways that He speaks to us. And we should expect that. In fact, we a lot of times will say maybe there's one primary way that you hear Him, through seeing these pictures or images, hearing words, hear His voice, or maybe a feeling or a sensation. But you shouldn't settle for one of the three. Any more than you as a physical being should say, well, I'm sorry, I only see, I don't talk. No, you have five senses, right? And you should expect in your spirit that you can develop all of your senses in the spirit as well. In fact, I smelled the presence of the Lord before. Has anybody ever had that happen before? Like a smell, a sweet fragrance that you can't pinpoint anywhere in the room, except it's something that God is doing to reveal His presence. There's many ways that we can encounter God. In your notes, everything that God wants to do in, through, and for us right here, right now is connected to His voice. He's speaking words of life over us right now. So, we're going to practice these three primary ways that we hear from God: seeing, hearing, feeling, or sensing, if you want to use that word, if you're more comfortable with that. Because I know sometimes Christians don't like the feeling word because we don't want to be led by our feelings. No, we don't want to be led by our feelings. We are led by faith. Have feelings. And God speaks to us through sensations sometimes and through feelings. So I want to practice something. I want to encourage you to take a moment, if you would, and maybe just a little soft music in the background. We don't have to have music to hear the Lord, but there's a whole, you go read through the Old Testament, there's a bunch of times. It actually, one of the passages, one of my favorite, is a prophet was mad. He didn't want to prophesy, and he said, bring me a musician. There's something about a connection between music and God's voice. For me, that's super powerful, and I think it's a biblical principle as well. So if you'll close your eyes for just a moment, I believe Jesus wants you to encounter Him. We've heard you. He's speaking to us through His Scripture, and His Scripture has shown us that He speaks in many ways. And so right now, I want to encourage you, as your eyes are closed, I believe Holy Spirit right now is going to give you a picture of Jesus. So you begin to see Jesus, and Jesus is, He's coming to where you are, and He's just going to sit you right where you're at. And you just let Holy Spirit paint that picture on the inside of what Jesus looks like, what His face looks like. That's super important, because if we think He's mad at us, then we're going to get a mad word. But I want you to see this morning the Jesus who loves you, the Jesus who went to the cross for you, the Jesus who died for you, and see His face. Let Him reveal to you what He looks like, His face, His countenance. And He's sitting down in front of you right now, and He's handing you, I'm going to paint a picture, but then I'm going to let Him, Holy Spirit, finish off this picture. He's got it on His face because He's got this stone in His hand. And He's handing you this stone. He's putting this stone in your hand right now. And He puts His hand over your hand, and He's looking into your eyes, and He's telling you, I've written something on this stone for you. It's something of a special description of how I see you. These are words that I speak over you. It might be one word or two words that you see, or maybe you'll hear, or maybe you'll feel or sense. It could be any of those ways. But He wants you to encounter what He's speaking over you today. And so with your eyes closed, I'm going to wait for just a moment, and I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you what Jesus has written on that stone about you. Revelation says He's written, He has a new name on a stone that is written just for you. Thank you. give an opportunity actually for some of you to speak it out loud enough where others can hear you. Sometimes it just, it's powerful to speak it out. You may find that you got a word that other people got as well. Anybody want to share what you saw written on that or heard written on that stone or felt? Yeah, Rich. That's good. You can't get any better than that. Did you see it, hear it, feel it? Oh, come on. That's awesome. Anybody else? Did you get anything you want to share? Healed? Yeah. Am I hearing you right? Healed? Yeah. That's a great word, isn't it? He's written that over your life, Pat. Amen. Love. Let's get love. You just saw love. Raise your hand real quick. I can't see it, but it'll keep you awake. Love. Anybody else? Say it a little bit louder. See, there's an example right there. Felt the warmth of the love. In case you didn't hear that. You didn't see it, but felt the warmth of the love of God. He says you are loved. Come on, that's good. Oh, joy in the morning. And she smelled something. First time. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. That is so good. That is so good. And joy, is that what you said? Joy in the morning. Ooh, that's a good. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's good. Awesome. Yeah. And he says over you that you're the fragrance of the Lord. That fragrance you smell is his presence. It's what you smell like in this. That's what I hear him saying. Smell like to the world around you, Lene. It's the fragrance of God. Anybody else? Feed my sheep. Come on. Was that Darren? Awesome. Feed my sheep. I believe that, Darren. That's a word of the Lord. Anybody else? My son. It doesn't get much better than that, Roger. A son. Come on. I'll take that one for me, too. I like that one. Anybody else? Row, row, row. I can hear two people at once. It's a voice of many waters. Try it again. My child. Oh, there's something tender about that. That's so good. And somebody else, another man was saying something. I heard it. Ooh, I like that. Anointed to serve others. Is that Stu? I like trying to figure out who you guys are by the sound of your voice. That's awesome. Beautiful, beloved. Oh, both are good words. Come on. Anyone else? Come on, that's a good word, Carrie. Yeah. Man, that must be one big stone. That's awesome. That's a great word. Woo! I'll take that. Anybody else? Faith what? Faith-driven. Ooh, that's a good word. Awesome. I love it. Anybody else? Oh, that's awesome. Peace. Ooh, peace to Amy's heart. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. That's a great picture. Beautiful. Anyone else? You have anything, sweetie?
I felt like he was kind of making a joke with me. I just said D-D, and I thought of their...
Oh, T-T, yeah.
And I thought, well, nobody's ever called me D-D before. What does that mean? And he said, darling daughter.
Darling daughter. Oh, that's so good. I love it. D-D. Should I start calling you D-D? Is that... Oh, she said, I'm not your daughter. Okay. Point taken, point received. That's right. DB, darling bride. How about that? That works. That's good. Well, I'm sure there are more, too. And I would encourage you, I mean, there's little exercises like this that you can do just to take time to look, to listen, to train. Hebrews talks about training our senses, what it says, to learn to discern. There's a training that happens when we take time to listen to God, let Him paint on our imaginations as we read Scripture, and expect Him to speak to us all day. And then we take what the same way you encountered Jesus, you can pray for others and receive pictures and thoughts and words just like that, that you can speak over well and be a blessing to them. Amen? Let's stand. Lord, thank You for speaking to us this morning. Through Your Word and through Your voice, God, we remember the Scriptures and we remember what Jesus has said. We thank You for that today. Thank You, Lord. Scotty, may you stand with me this morning. You're now Irish. Scotty McDuin. So this morning, if you would bow your heads, is there anybody here that's never given your life to Jesus? Today's a great day to do it. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time or re-surrender to Him, raise your hand up and hold it up high. If that's you and you want to give your heart to the Lord today. Anyone need? I'm going to give you opportunity to do that today. Anyone? Don't want to miss out on opportunity to surrender your heart to Jesus. All right. Thank You, Lord. I also want to encourage you as you're leaving this morning. Some of you say, well, I don't know if He would speak to me because I've sinned. People He spoke to in the Bible was Cain. Not the first, but one of the first. And He spoke to him after he killed his brother. Come on. In fact, let me just say this. He talked to the devil in Genesis 3. If he'll talk to the devil, don't you think for sure he'd talk to you? Right? He wants to speak to you and He wants you to know who you are. So Lord, I bless Your people with ears to hear today. You said with those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. So Lord, I bless Your people with ears to hear, eyes to see, imaginations that are lit up, God, with the joy, the goodness, and the grace, and the mercy, and the love of God, and really actually carry heaven to the world around us by the present tense voice of Your Spirit speaking in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. As Jericho would say, in Jesus' name, amen. So God bless you guys. Come receive prayer if you need it this morning. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. It will be an awesome time with Jaron as he shares. Have an amazing night. And give him. Oh, Barb Burris' birthday today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Barb. Happy birthday to you.